Welcome, welcome, welcome on another California Dreamin' Day. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Welcome to Pop Off. Hey, this is day four of us being on BBS Radio. What an exciting time. And the kind of technology that we have to be able to come to you via bbsradio.com. Please tell your friends. The show will continue. We're going to be on Monday through Friday from noon till 1 p.m. And we are broadcasting from California, but all over is where we go. And all kinds of topics. The topics are going to be for your good and my good. I always look at it this way. What are you interested in? Same things that I am. You know, how to feel better, live longer, happier, find tips that will make life a little bit easier for us. And I think that is what is the name of the game for anything that goes on in life. Don't you think? I'm serious about this. I want to be able to have Pop Off be a positive show, a show that gives you information that will help you, help me, and maybe make life better for all of us a little bit. So I will try. Honestly, I will try and get you the best and the brightest. We're going to have some fun stuff, too. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be all heavy. We're going to do some movie reviews. We'll do a little bit of Hollywood gossip. That'll all be a part of it. In addition to the health and alternative health, because alternative health and health are now working together finally. It used to be that alternative health stuff had to kind of stay way over in the right someplace because traditional medicine and traditional doctors just did not want to talk to alternative health. That's beginning to change in some major changes. And I'm always a firm believer that if you have a physician who is a traditional doctor and they're not willing to talk to you about some of the alternatives, then it's like the old saying, find yourself another doctor. It goes. But anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun. We want the show to be fun. We want it to be entertaining, but we also want it to be very, very informative. You know, there's enough radio out there that comes at you with a very negative aspect to it. You know, they beat up on each other, and it's controversy. There's good controversy. There's healthy controversy, and people should have different opinions. But if you're going to have controversy just for the sake of controversy or being nasty and mean to each other, that accomplishes, to me, nothing. Absolutely nothing. We want to make sure that Pop Off comes to you and gives you good information for your life and your family. It could be for your career. It could be for a variety of things. All this and so much more is all going to be a part of Pop Off, and we want to make sure that you are a part of it, too. So I want to hear from you. Seriously, this is our show. This is a joint show as far as I'm concerned. So if you have ideas, topics, even personalities, if you see someone on the television set or you read someplace about someone, email me. I'm serious. I'll try and get them. Believe me, I have no qualms picking up the phone and going down there and trying to find out if we can get a hold of somebody. So please, you always let me know and let us know exactly what you'd like to see and hear on Pop Off. And see, I kind of say that as a little bit aside, because who knows, we may do some video for you, too. But that's a little ways down the line. But right now, it's MaryJane@popoff.com. That's all we need to have. And speaking about movies, have you been to the movies lately? Well,
Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the little neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Whether it's Saturday night or Friday night or Wednesday night, doesn't make any difference. If you're going to the movies, well, hold on to your popcorn and juju beans and be sure you want to spend your hard-earned bucks, first of all. And the lady in the know, our Hollywood movie maven, our La La Land diva, Deborah Hill, looks at them just for the hell of it. Hello, Deborah.
I like that, La La Land diva.
Isn't that kind of cool? It is such a wonderful thing for me to be able to talk with you and be on BBS Radio now. It's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is kind of different for me, too. I tell you, we'll have to get used to it. But in the meantime, I did see a movie called The Lake House, with Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves. It's supposed to be coming out on the weekend. And this story falls somewhere between surreal and real. Sandra and Keanu are attracted to each other, but there's just one little problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's called time. She's
what?
Living in 2006, and he's living in 2004.
Oh.
It's a little difficult to carry on a romance with a two-year time difference.
You're kidding. They're actually, like, living in two times. How do they connect?
Well, Sandra has been renting a lake house while studying to become a doctor, and when she graduates and moves nearer the Chicago hospital she will work in, she leaves a note in the mailbox for the next tenant, who happens to be Keanu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he gets the note, he's totally frustrated because it makes no sense to him. His father was the architect who designed the lake house, but as far as he knows, there was never a tenant there. And then we watch as the story goes back and forth in time, but some of the things that happen are so confusing. And they don't make sense at all because they're in a different time period. And this reminded me of a movie I saw called What the Bleep Do We Know, which suggests that there is another universe next to us that we don't see.
You know, I'm firmly believe that because it's always fading into ours and causing trouble. You know what I mean?
Well, for a practical person like myself, it's difficult enough to live in this time zone. Never mind another one you can't see.
So this one sounds kind of like wacky, weird, and kind of strange.
It's a bizarre film. It's a bizarre story, and I rated the lake house halfway up the hill.
Well, that's not too bad for Deborah Hill. You're pretty rough.
Yeah, I'm kind of a critic's critic, but it's rated PG, and it's a Warner Brothers film.
Oh, okay.
And it is a romantic story, and if people like romance that's not, you know, too sexual or something, and more ethereal.
And I like Sandra Bullock. She's terrific.
Yeah, she is terrific. Yeah, she thinks that she and Keanu have screen chemistry, but I didn't think so.
Oh, really?
I thought that they look like two friends.
Two what? Like two what?
Two friends.
Can't have friends. No.
Yeah, I look more like friends than a romance, although.
Does it end happy?
Yeah, it has a happy ending.
Oh, okay. I want some happy endings. I'll tell you, we've got so much negative stuff in life today. I need something happy when I go to a movie. I want to eat my popcorn, and I want to have my milk duds, and I want to forget about everything.
Yeah, you can tell. I agree with you totally with today's world. I think we need much more comedy.
Now, all this stuff happening at Guantanamo with the suicides, and now they kicked the reporters out of there this last couple of days. Now, you have a movie called Road to Guantanamo?
Yeah, this is part documentary and part dramatization.
Okay.
So, as you know, I was thinking about this story, and I was looking back at all the wars America has fought, and I think the current Middle East war is probably the most difficult of all the wars because it is almost impossible to know who the enemy is over there. Because the Muslims, because of their religion, many followers look very much alike with the beards and the long hair and the turbans.
Everybody, yeah.
You know, so some of these men are peaceful and some are terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And the story.
We've got our own terrorists in this country too. We can't tell.
Yeah, right. And you know, this fanatical thinking of Islamists, where they want to kill anybody who isn't just exactly like them, or
well, they want to go get those 73 virgins.
Yeah, right. Well, you know the joke I tried. The God is looking at one of the terrorists and saying, "Forget about it. I ran out of virgins." But this story chronicles the sequence of events that led three Muslim men
mm-hmm.
from England to be caught in Afghanistan at a time when the United States was arresting Al-Qaeda followers in that country.
Mm-hmm.
And as the story goes, the mother of one of the young men has found a girl for him to marry in Pakistan.
Oh, my.
And the date is September 10th, 2001. So a few days later, when he sets off with his friends to meet his bride-to-be and have his friends at the wedding, and his timing is really bad. And we see how bad timing and bad luck combine to have them all sent to the terrorist prison at Guantanamo.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, there is torture there, of course, but a war is hell, and a war like this is more hell than most wars, and it is easy to see how American soldiers get so frustrated with the insane behavior of some of these prisoners
mm-hmm.
that the prisoners get beaten.
Well, you know, It makes me so upset when people say, well, we won the war. Excuse me, no one wins in a war when you look at it.
No, no one wins in a war, but apparently it's a war that has to be fought because of such fanaticism. And the mistaken identity of the men that are arrested comes from a picture that looks like them with Osama bin Laden and Mohammed Atta. He was the guy that flew a plane into the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And they are not the same men, but they certainly look alike.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of awful scenes showing what happens in countries with without the law and order that we have here most of the time.
Right.
But eventually they do prove their innocence. But I came away from this movie feeling very lucky that I wasn't born in a Middle Eastern country. Because
you know
wonder
what?
How...
I'm sure the Asians felt the same way during World War II. And,
yeah.
You know, the Vietnamese felt that way during the Vietnam War. I mean, there's always going to be somebody who's going to suffer when you have a war.
Right. And it's rated R for all the violence.
Oh, really? Oh, well, okay.
You know.
Who produced it?
It's put out by a company called Roadside Attractions. It was roadside, all right, but not very attractive.
Oh, my God. All right. So that's an independent, I would assume.
It's an independent film, and, you know, it's hard to rate a documentary. It's just something that is going on now, and I guess if you're interested in what's happening at Guantanamo, it's a good film to take a look at.
Okay. All right. What about this one? Please, make me happy again. You got one called Little Miss Sunshine, is it?
Yeah, well, Little Miss Sunshine is cute. It's coming out next month. And it's a story about a cute little girl who's not particularly beautiful or talented, just a sweet little girl who wants to, you know, have fun. And kids love to make believe. And like I have my little grandchildren, they love to do plays and everything. But I don't think beauty contests and talent contests are too good for children that are under, like, say, 10 years old. I think it puts too much pressure on little kids. And this is a story about a beauty talent contest called Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, Little Miss, okay.
For little girls. And the story is actually about a dysfunctional family on a road tour from their home to... It's their home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to Redondo Beach, California, where they're having this contest, and their deepest wish is for their little 7-year-old daughter, who is, you know, a cute little kid, but an ordinary girl,
mm-hmm.
with not a lot of talent or a lot of good looks, just a cute little kid.
Right.
And but the story really centers around the travel on the road. They're traveling in a Volkswagen bus, and all the everything that could go wrong does go wrong.
Oh,
I mean, there's a couple of funny laughs in it. It stars Greg Kinnear, Alan Arkin, Steve Carell. He was in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Toni Collette, and I think the little girls...
Some good names.
Yeah, it's got a good cast. Abigail Breslin is the little girl. And it's an interesting film, but I hope that when people see a film like this, they don't put their little children under 10 years old in contests competing against each other, because I think their feelings are really kind of raw at that stage, and if they lose, they're really crushed.
Well, we've already seen that happen with the little girl that was killed and murdered, and you saw the shot of her when she was on stage. She looked like 15 years old, 16 years old, and she was like a little 4 or 5-year-old. It's terrible.
Well, that's the problem. That is exactly, you're exactly right. It puts kids, tries to make them look older.
Yeah, well, you take, sometimes they do that with the magazines with like a 15-year-old, and you find out that this is a 15-year-old made up, and she looks like 30. You know, this is not a good thing. And then we wonder why they're sexual objects. Excuse me.
Yeah, right.
So.
I mean, if you're going to parade a little girl on stage, you know, and have her do a sexy dance and sexy moves and all that kind of stuff with makeup.
If your child loves to perform, because I did. I mean, I used to love to be on stage, and from 8, 9 years old, I used to be on, but not in contests where you have the pressure. You know, you got to win, and if you don't win this one, then you're not going to move on to the next one. That's the unhealthy part of it. Being on stage is not the unhealthy. It's pushing these kids.
You're exactly right.
And
I don't understand why parents don't understand that.
Well,
why?
You know what? I honestly have a feeling about that and a reason. I think a lot of parents did not do something in their life, And as a result, they're trying to live through their children's lives. And this is not healthy. Now, if the child wants it, that's one thing. But if you're trying to push and trying to, you know, be that stage mother or stage father and be out there with, let them be kids.
Yeah, that's what I say. Let them be kids, especially if they're under 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
as they get a little older, if they want to get up, that's fine. You know, no problem.
Right.
So how do you rate Little Miss Sunshine?
Well, it's a good look at that kind of problems and a dysfunctional family. Yeah, I rated it 3/4.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
Yeah, that's like a 7 on a 1 to 10.
Anybody can go see it?
Yeah. It's a pretty PG-13, I believe it is.
Oh, PG-13. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you saw one more. And when you said it that you were going to talk about this, you didn't sound real positive about the long weekend.
Well, you know, the long weekend was really too long for me.
Okay.
But they said in the press notes that it was based on clips from America's Funniest Home Videos that were rejected by the television show.
Now you know why, right?
Yeah, now I know why, because they were too outrageous and not that funny.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of toilet humor in this. Uh-huh. And literally, seeing people on dirty toilets and was disgusting.
I mean, you're serious. You're talking about really on toilets?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I thought you meant toilets.
It's too much reality for me. There's two men in the film, Chris Klein and Brendan Fehr. It's spelled F-E-H-R. And some other people that I've never heard of. And it's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of one brother trying to get the other brother laid. That's the story. He's trying to get him laid. Well, you know, I personally think prostitution should be legalized, and they should have houses where people go for this and not trying to seduce every woman they meet in a bar or something.
Well, so look at this. If he needs to have somebody else to get him laid, then he's got a major problem he's got to work out on his own.
Right. And he's just kind of, every other scene was so disgusting. After about an hour, I said, oh, God, I can't handle this. And
you couldn't even finish it, huh?
No, I would have rated bottom of the hill after an hour. It's about almost 2 hours long. It's 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to see a disgusting toilet humor type of film that's not really funny.
About 89 minutes too long, huh?
Yeah.
Now, if people want, and I know you have more extensive reviews on your website, and you also have some wonderful photos of all the wonderful stars that you get to see and talk to and be a part of. How do they get there so they can see all that?
Well, they can tap into Devra, D-E-V is in vitamins, R-A, and then the letter Z is in Zoom Zoom, and Hill, H-I-L-L, DevraZHill.com. And they'll see all kinds of things on there, movie reviews, photos with stars I've interviewed, and books I've recently written or not recently written. There's all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back with us so we can talk. You've got the book, Rejuvenation.
Yeah.
The Rest of Your Life for the Rest of Your Life. We've got to have you come back and talk about the books, too.
Yeah, we should do that on one of the shows.
Fantastic. As always, Devra, you are such a trooper. I mean, you got to go see some of the most stinky movies as well as some of the most wonderful ones. But you got to have both of them so that you can give us the idea of what we should and shouldn't go and spend our money on.
Yeah, people think that this job is really great, but when you're sitting in a movie that's really lousy, it's not so great.
I hear you. Well, Devra, as always, thank you. And, of course, we'll be talking with you next week again.
Right. You have fun and entertaining week, and I'm off to a memorial for Robert Sterling, and Ann Jeffries having her memorial close by here in Beverly Hills for her husband who died last week. He was 88.
Well, I've interviewed Ann Jeffries. Please give her my regrets. I really do.
I will tell her. She's such a sweet lady, and she's easy to talk to.
I'd love to talk with her sometime if we can set that up.
Sure.
Terrific. Devra, have a good week.
You too. Have an entertaining week. We'll talk next week.
And always entertaining with Pop Off a Poppin'.
For your eyes only.
folks, can you picture this? This is for your eyes only, because I want you to picture yourself at maybe 100 years old or 110, maybe even older, and you're going, come on. I got a newsflash for you. I'm going to live to be 150. I've got to get back at a lot of people, and revenge will keep you alive. I'm just joking. Don't get mad at me. Don't start emailing me about it. But I really don't mean to be facetious about this, because it is possible. I mean, if you're not ready to kick off really fast, you don't have to. Dr. Mao Xing Ni says it is possible to live to 100, 110. And I don't mean in a convalescent home, too. And he says it's simple in his book called Secrets of Longevity. 38 generations of medical knowledge in his family and his 20-year study of centenarians in China. And Dr. Mao knows hundreds of ways to live to be 100. Nice to have you with us, Dr. Ni.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Off. You know, Dr. Ni, it is amazing to think that we can live to be 100 or maybe even 150. You say it is possible.
It's not only possible, it's a reality. More and more people are actually enjoying long lives. But see, what really is happening is that your body wants to be 100. So that means, well, all we have to do is give the body what it needs to thrive, to live to be 100,
mm-hmm.
and then get out of the way. Because I find that after over 20 years of clinical experience working with patients, that human behavior is the biggest obstacle to people achieving their longevity potential.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And many people also have this very negative thinking that, boy, I think I missed the boat. I've blown it. I'm too old. I'm out of shape. Actually, the good news here is that it's not too late.
But you know what? There are doctors who say the body was not meant to go past 80 or 90 years.
Well, the actual science are you know, it's interesting because both Eastern Western medicine agree that your body has the capacity to actually live beyond 100 years of age.
Really?
But most people expire prematurely because, number one, their mindset. They're limited by their mind thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to live to 75 because that's what the census says we ought to live to be. But insurance companies are in a panic now because life insurance companies, it's interesting because people are living longer.
Mm.
And so they have to change their tables now. So the point is that since the body is capable of living that long, well, if you don't take care of it, you might live a long time, but spend the last quarter of your life pretty miserable, you know, sickly.
Yeah, in other words, I don't want to live to be 150 and, you know, be a vegetable in a convalescent home.
That's right.
Okay, so I know I can live to be 100 at least, maybe 110, maybe even up to 150, but are you saying then that we destroy ourselves?
We get in our way. You know, we interfere in this process, and we need to acquire and learn how we can do it better. And now, you know, I'm personally very invested in living to 100 because, for me personally, I almost died as a young man falling from three stories. And that experience, coupled with the work that my father did for me. My father was a doctor of Chinese medicine,
mm-hmm.
In fact, 37th generation doctor of Chinese medicine going back in his family. Saved my life. All right. And
really?
So here I am. I value my life. I want to live to be 100 because I've got a lot of things on my list that I want to do. And so, but this book is not about me. This book's about how you can save your life. And simple tips. I have over 300 tips and secrets of longevity that are easy. You know, all you have to do is kind of turn the pages and just pick out the ones that appeals to you.
Okay, so if it appeals to me, what if Krispy Kreme donuts and McDonald's hamburgers appeal to me? That's not going to do it, though, right?
Well, you know, instead of focusing on what you shouldn't do, which, of course, there's plenty, but, you know, maybe I can interest you to eat berries. Berries.
Berries?
Berries. Blueberries.
Blueberries?
Chinese medicine has long regarded blueberries as good for your brain and good for your kidneys. But did you know that rats that eat blueberries don't get Alzheimer's?
Oh, come on.
Yes. This was a study that came out in Minnesota a couple years back that showed rats that were bred to develop Alzheimer when fed with blueberries did not develop the disease.
Yeah, but do I have to eat, like, you know, 2 pounds of berries a day or something?
No, not really. It's just get, you know, just get your hands on it and eat whatever amount that you can, you know, that you can get your hands on. And you can eat it frozen. You can eat it fresh.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. And it's quite beneficial. And it's tasty, see? And so that's one of, you know, the over 300 secrets. And blueberries on ice cream. I've got a tip in there. How to undo an ice cream sundae.
Okay.
And, you know, because, you know, ice cream sundae would cost you, what, 300-400 calories easy? Well, all you have to do is do housework for an hour, and it's done. Or go dancing the cha-cha or the salsa.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's what I do. When I go work out, they laugh at me because I have my popcorn bin in the car, and sometimes I have a bag of potato chips. And I said, what the heck am I working out for if I can't, you know, cheat a little bit?
Right.
You know,
right.
It makes me feel better, then I can come home and I can take the stuff if I can cheat a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a little of everything, it's fine. But there are so many more you can do. Like, for example, sleep your way to 100. And I know that sounds funny. It's not what people think.
Sleep my way to 100?
Sleep your way to 100.
You mean I got to have more
sleep? I love this one because it's so simple. And it's about power naps. I'm talking about 10, 15, 20 minutes of power naps every day. Would really do your body a lot of good.
Really?
And yes, and traditionally, Chinese medicine says noontime hour, 12 o'clock, is the peak hour for the heart, and in order to strengthen the heart, you have to rest your heart. Well, the nice thing about it is that studies now show nappers have a 30% lower risk of heart disease and stroke.
Huh.
And that's just from taking a nap.
I got a problem, doctor. I'm on the air.
I know. So don't take a nap right now. Take a nap after you're off the air.
You don't want me napping off on you, right?
No, not while we're talking.
So power naps, like how many? Just several throughout the day?
Well, you know, it doesn't take long. You know, like 10 minutes, even just a 15-minute quietly, just quiet your mind and sit. If you can't fall asleep, that's okay. Just take a little break, and it'll do you a lot of good.
Do I have to sleep still 8 hours at night?
Well, sure, you still have to get your beauty sleep at night.
Oh, please, it's so boring to sleep. I never slept more than 4 or 5 hours at a time. I can't.
I know. The old saying, you know, I'll sleep and I'm dead.
Yeah, that's
it's pretty catchy, but, you know, it probably should say if you don't rest regularly, you'll be dead a lot sooner.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, that's the problem in our society is that we don't value rest, and that's pretty dangerous because, you know, your body is an instrument. It's very delicately fine-tuned instrument rhythm, and so you got to go with the rhythm. And if you know the rhythm, then you can make it last a lot longer.
You have what you call your 5 secret areas to longevity, and we've touched on a little bit of them. So what I eat, obviously, diet and nutrition, is going to make a major difference because that's the fuel you put in the body, right?
That's right.
Okay. So I've got to eat my blueberries. Can I eat them in a smoothie?
You can eat them in a smoothie. You can eat them anywhere you want.
Okay, cool. That's
yeah.
I'm getting happier now. Okay. And nutrition, how many times a day should you eat?
The best way is, I call it just-in-time nutrition. So eat more frequently but smaller meals. And that makes sense because what happened is the three-meal, large meal a day plan is just for convenience of industrialization. What we really need to do is feed our body fuel on a regular basis. So if you eat small meals, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, then you eat just enough that you use it up, burn it off. Nothing extra gets stored up as fat.
Yeah, but you're not talking about a Snickers candy bar.
Well, no, I'm talking about nuts and seeds for snack, maybe a yogurt, maybe...
I get you. I'm still on track with you. I even though, you know, I'm getting a little off. Those candy bars, they pop up in my mind. I can't help it. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
Now, we talk a little bit about healing. Now, you say herbs and remedies, elixirs. Are you talking about, like, supplements, too?
I'm talking about supplements, too. There are a lot of things that people can do that is kind of like the first line of healing. What happened is that automatically... in our culture, we're a pill-popping culture. Your no pun intended on your name. Pop, But it's
Well, actually, I have to be real honest with you. I teasingly say that I take so many doggone vitamins that I rattle when I walk.
Okay.
So I do take vitamins. I'm diligent.
You know, I think as much as people can do to work on prevention, that's really the key, prevention. If you can just, you know, if you have to want to be 100, obviously. And if you are, if you want to, then you'll be a little more motivated and you'll start to make little bitty changes and simple changes that can make a difference. So taking your vitamin pills and maybe you know, spice up your circulation with some turmeric. You can, you know, eat it as a spice or take in a capsule, for example. Ginger also does the same. It improves circulation, reduces inflammation, helps prevent certain cancers. I mean, it's really, you know, nature has endowed us with so many healing plants.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you have to keep in mind, drugs originally come from these very plants and herbs.
Now, the next one that you have, though, I understand the herbs and the vitamins and the remedies, and we try and do the best we possibly can. But you also said where you are, where you live. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't have a choice. We live in a polluted area.
Huh. You're absolutely right. You know, but the thing is, we don't have to be a victim of our environment or circumstances. I know there's a lot of pollution out there, but simple tips. Like one of my favorite secrets of longevity is this: grow fresh air indoor. Now I know that sounds kind of funny. Well, how do you grow fresh air? Well, you know, dark foliage plants, all right, in China have long considered to be purifiers of bad energy, bad air. Well, sure enough, science today have discovered that plants like ficus, indoor plants, lilies, can actually mop up VOCs. These are volatile organic compounds, and give you back fresh, pure oxygen. Now, so you can live next to a free on ramp, but you just grow your own fresh air.
Now, I've got a lot of plants in my house, but there are certain plants that don't like me. I mean, I can grow some that are the ones that I can leave for a week or so and not have to water all. Those grow real well in my house, but some of the others, I mean, I had a Venus flytrap. It just died. You know, it's just like, you know, what do I do?
Well, you do have to take care of your plants.
Well, I fed the darn thing. Maybe I overfed it. I don't know.
It's there are ways to take care of plants, and I don't happen to be an expert botanist or horticulturist, but you probably could go down to your local garden supply place and nursery and ask for some tips.
Did you have plants in every room?
I have plants all over my office and around my house, except for my immediate like next to my bed, because at night, what plants do is they actually consume oxygen, and then they give off the same carbon dioxide that we expel.
Oh.
So I don't have it next to my bed, but I have it all over the house. So every morning, you know, what the plants start doing through photosynthesis is they start to mop up all the bad gas, like the carbon dioxide and the VOCs, and then they give me back oxygen.
Cool.
Yeah, that's why it feels so good to take a walk in nature among trees. You know, it's because you're getting this infusion of oxygen that's so critical.
Yes, exactly. Now, you also said exercise, and, you know, that's a given, because we have such a problem in this country. I mean, 62% of our population is obese, overweight. I mean, it's surprising in one way, because we all promote this whole idea of lifestyle and exercise and everything, but are we just doing the wrong kinds of exercise?
Well, not necessarily. It is a sad fact that, you know, we're a nation of obese people, and people are not in good shape. Exercise, there's all kinds of exercise you can do, and they're all equally beneficial. I interviewed many, many centenarians in China, and what their preferred exercise, Tai Chi. In fact, over 100 million people practice Tai Chi in the world, and it's a simple rhythmic dance that you can sort of learn to do. It's also a martial art too, but we don't really promote that aspect. We promote the health perspective of that. But you know, even if people don't get the time to exercise, if they learn how to breathe properly, this is one of my favorite tips and secrets of longevity is meditate to detoxify. And I know some people are thinking, I don't have time to run off to the mountaintop or sit in the saffron grove.
Yeah, we thought we were breathing properly by just walking, you know.
That's right. You can walk and breathe. But breathing, we take it so much for granted. But meditation is a wonderful way to learn how to breathe properly.
Yeah.
And yet proper breathing, most people aren't aware of this, removes 70% of your body's toxins and waste products.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely. So simple meditation, I give a easy tip in there, only takes a couple minutes to do, and you can learn how to expel all the toxins from your body.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, I was going to ask you, and those elixirs that you kind of mention and talk a little bit about in the book, we're not talking about funny stuff here, like, you know, drug stuff. You're talking about real natural stuff, right?
Yeah, you're talking about elixirs.
Yeah.
The elixirs... the name is, I love the name elixir because it conjures up, you know, these formulas of herbs and, you know, extracts and so forth. And that's what they are. They're different herbs that are compounded together that actually help to increase energy, vitality, make your brain a little sharper, your memory, and just help you in general, make you feel better. And there are different things that you can actually, you can make yourself. It's not something that you absolutely have to, you know, buy. And that's the nice thing, is that a lot of this you can go to the health food store and pick up.
How much is genetics, you know, controlling our bodies? Because we always say, well, you know, if your parents, you know, kicked off at 50, look out, you're going to have a problem.
Right. Well, genetics, I will tell you that genetics does make a difference, but there are also many, many cases where the genetics don't come into play at all, because many of the centenarians I interviewed had parents who only lived 40, 50 years, and here they are, 102, 104, are walking, vibrant. And it's amazing. And it's because they understand that their body wants to be 100. They can live to be 100, and they have. And also they understood that they need to, you know, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way and give the body what it needs to really thrive, to become healthy and happy. And for them, they have a big optimistic approach to life. You know, for them, it's like, you know, a lot of them, by the way, were sick earlier in life or did not have very good circumstances in health. But they decided, you know what, I'm gonna live to be 100, and I'm willing to do what it takes to get there, and I want to be healthy. And so it's not too late for people out there thinking, boy, you know, I missed a boat. I'm here to tell you it's not too late, even if you have bad genetics.
Good deal. Now, I know, is it true that you actually advise people like Jim Carrey and Helen Hunt?
Well, I mean, they did write very complimentary endorsements for my book, so I'm very grateful to them, and they're just wonderful people. And you know, what I share with them, I share with everyone.
Right.
You know, I share them in this book.
Excellent.
Secrets of Longevity.
Now, do you have a website?
I do. The website is askdrmao.com, and that's askdrmao.com. And you can log on the website and ask me any questions you might have, and also subscribe to a free newsletter and further updates.
Now, the book, available at all the bookstores, Amazon, all that?
It's available in every bookstore out there and on Amazon and other internet sources.
Just, again, kind of clarify for everyone, because most of us say, you know, I don't need anything complicated in my life. The secrets of longevity, is it, keep it, I believe in the KISS syndrome, keep it simple, stupid, is it?
It's so simple. You don't have to do all 300 tips. You can just do one, and you're that much further along in your quest for health and longevity.
Fantastic. Dr. Mao, I'd love to have you come back and visit again sometime.
I would love that, too.
You know, I want all my listeners, myself included, to live to be 150.
Well, we'll do.
Dynamite. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, that's AskDrMao.com. Name of the book, Secrets of Longevity. And thanks for the good hints, because we're going to take as many as we possibly can.
Thank you.
Take care, Dr. Mao. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Again, that's Dr. Mao Xing Yi is actually his last name, is Yi, N-I. But if you just remember Dr. Mao, everybody knows who he is. Anyway, thank you for being with us and looking good at 80 and great at 100 on Pop Off. look through that la-la land in Hollywood and a thing called Celebrity Stew, and you'll go, what the heck is she talking about? Well, it's made up of fruit and vegetables and just about anything you can possibly think of. And Leo Pearlstein knows all about that. He is a food publicity pioneer. Now, I guess we kind of have to explain that to what that actually means to you, or means to us, actually. He is terrific. He's been around like 50 years plus, like five decades. And he is with the insider celebrity stories from Phyllis Diller to Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope. We can go back up to all the OEs. They used to promote all this stuff, the different vegetables and fruits and everything in California. They were all promoters, and Leo knew them all and writes about them in his book called Celebrity Stew and, of course, his most recent book, Recipes of the Stars. Leo, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, nice to have you with us, Leo. How you doing down there in La La Land?
I'm doing fine. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but if you can hear me okay, I can go with it.
You got it. No, you're coming through loud and clear. Thank you.
Okay.
All righty. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you got started with this whole thing of the celebrities. And I mean, this is like 50, 60 years ago that you got started with stars promoting products from turkeys to potatoes.
Well, yes, and I may as well tell you, I was a real youngster then. I was doing PR for a company called Bracken Television Productions. You may remember an actor, Eddie Bracken.
I know the name. I don't remember.
He was a fine comedian, and he was in The Miracle of Morgan's Creek, and he won awards. And we had a television company. We were way ahead of the game. We were making, we made the first sitcom called This Is Our Home, and we had a kid show. Anyway, I was handling the food products, whereas my associates were handling the movie stars and the actors and actresses and so on. And I had the turkey account, California Turkey Advisory Board.
Mm-hmm.
And our job was to get people to eat turkey the year round in addition to Thanksgiving. And it occurred to me, people used to go crazy over celebrities, and of course they still do,
mm-hmm.
what they ate, what they wore, what they drove. So I met a bunch of the celebs. I was working with them, and I said, you know, how about if I gave you some publicity in the food pages? Because I was an expert on food,
uh-huh.
and I worked with all the food editors, and they didn't get into the food pages. They got into the scandal pages and then Variety and Reporter. And I said, I'll make a deal with you. I'll if you help me promote my turkeys, I'll promote your show or yourself.
Cool.
And what do you have to do? I said, well, look, I'll get you a turkey and give me your favorite recipe or cook with it or take a photo, and I'll get you some publicity.
Mm.
So it worked out very well. They were happy and I was happy. And one thing led to another, and then as I got more accounts, I got prunes and potatoes and figs, asparagus, cantaloupe, boysenberries. And I found ways of making up recipes for the stars. And many of the times it was my recipes, and many of the times it was their recipes. And everybody in the show business needs publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was an extra source of publicity.
I love it.
We worked together, and that's how it started. And one thing led to another, and this lasted about 25 years.
I love it. I mean, you had people like Abbott and Costello were promoting eggs, and Groucho Marx potatoes, and Jane Mansfield turkeys. I mean, this is incredible stuff. Joan Rivers was promoting prunes for you?
Well, everything has a different occasion. It just so happens that the Prune Advisory Board did a advertising test. We were doing the PR, and Footcone and Belding was doing the advertising, and they decided to hire comedians. The Smothers Brothers and Joan Rivers and Bob and Ray, and they sort of made fun of prunes,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of the funny fruit.
Yeah.
And then they hired us to do the serious part, that prunes were really high in nutrition and good for you and so on. So my son Howard came up with the idea, well, since we've got these guys and since they're being paid to do a prune commercial,
uh-huh.
why don't we go down to the recording session and tell them, hey, listen, since you did this commercial, let us publicize it. It'd be good for you and good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, everybody wants publicity, and each one of them, we took a picture when they did the commercial, and then we wrote out stories, and we made a fun thing out of it. Joan Rivers is doing a prune commercial. And just the fact It was funny. And they liked it, and we did, and we got extra publicity.
And you had, like, Zsa Gabor promoting Hungarian salami? I didn't even know there was a Hungarian salami.
Well, you know, everything has a story. The company that makes Hungarian salami, the biggest company in Hungary, was behind the Red Curtain. And America was not importing stuff from the Red Curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And then one year, the State Department made a deal and said, okay, you guys are not such bad guys anyway, so we'll let you send your salami to the USA. Well, there was a fancy food show, which always takes place in California, and the lady that represented the PR for the Hungarian salami, she got in touch with us and said, can you help us at the fancy food show? We're new. We're just coming back after many years. So again, my son Howard came up with the idea. Geez, that's great. Why don't we have a Zsa Zsa look-alike contest, and the winner will get something or other, and that'll get us press in Hollywood and so on. Well, believe it or not, we thought we were doing great. Zsa Zsa got mad at us, and she said, I'll sue you. You can't use my name. And we said, why not? We were thought we were doing you a favor. So, no, she said, you can't. I imagine she wanted lots of money.
Oh, sure.
I don't remember. But anyway, she said, no deal. So we said, okay. We canceled everything we did, and we changed the name of the contest to Hungarian Actress Lookalike Contest.
It's all the wording.
She didn't get the publicity we did, and it was fun. But everything we did, whether it was humorous or serious, because we were dealing with food, we had to do it, quote, in good taste.
Oh, sure.
We may have kidded around a lot, but always got serious. We always talked about the healthful qualities. When we talked about prunes, we said it was high in iron, high in vitamin A. When we talked about turkeys, we said it was high in protein and low in fat. And we always had the good part about the product. So we had fun. We got lots of publicity. But we got serious and talked about the good part of fruit, of the prunes and figs mm-hmm. and turkeys and so on.
Now,
and I had Mrs. Covison's stuffing mix. And we got a lot of publicity for Soapy Covison.
Oh, sure.
Because actually, she was a pioneer. She was one of the first female executives and one of the first ladies to make whole wheat toast and whole wheat Melba toast. And then she made stuffing, and then she made croutons. So we promoted her as a celebrity, and she was.
I love it. I love it. Now, how did you get some of the recipes you have, like Phyllis Diller's baked dill stuffed sole or French?
Well, believe it or not, Phyllis Diller is a very gracious host.
She's a neat lady.
She's a very gracious person, and she's older now, and she's still so beautiful and gracious.
Well, she's had a lot of surgery.
She's got beautiful crystal and piano in her house, and she loves to cook, and she loves the publicity, and so we got very friendly with her. And we said, we will get you lots of publicity, and since you love to cook, if you use our product, we'll promote that particular recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, luckily for me, most of my products were generic. We worked for the state of California, for the corn growers. We worked for the seafood industry. We worked for the turkey industry. We worked for the prune industry, except for Mrs. Covison, which was a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, it's so well known and so good that people would let us use it. So Phyllis, we'd call on the phone and say, Phyllis, we've got a chance to do something with corn, and you're corny as heck. We're going to make you the queen of corn, and we'll send out a release and take a picture of you with corn. And how about your favorite recipe? So she'd give us a corn recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'd say we want a turkey recipe or a fish recipe. And so in Phyllis's case, she actually gave us her recipes. And some of the men, we'd say, look, here's a recipe. What do you think of it? Or show it to your wife. And if you like it, we'll say it's a favorite of yours. In other words, we didn't say it was their recipe. It was a favorite. That's what we did with Bob Hope.
I was just going to ask, what was his recipe?
Bob Hope was fantastic. He was one of the nicest guys and the fun guys to work with. We were handling California grapefruit. California grapefruit grows down in Coachella Valley around Palm Springs and Indio.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Hope had every year, his favorite charity was the Bob Hope Classic. And he loved it, and he wanted to raise money for the Eisenhower Memorial Hospital. So we came up with the idea. We needed some excitement. You know, you always need some excitement when you're doing all of the publicity. So we came. We actually called Bob Hope's publicity agent, whom we know. We said, hey, we'll make a deal with you. If you get Bob Hope to let us take some pictures of him with California grapefruit, which grows in the Palm Springs area, and if you let us get a recipe that he likes, we will promote the recipe and we'll say, just in time for the Bob Hope Golf Classic.
Oh.
And we'll give grapefruit to the chefs and we'll have special recipes and we'll have lots of fun and we'll go down and take pictures of all the golfers and we'll have our Coachella grapefruit girls there. And we'll just have a fun thing, and we'll promote the Golf Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the sports pages, where they got the publicity, we actually got the publicity on radio and even TV and in the food pages.
I love it.
Talking about Bob Hope's Golf Classic is coming, and Bob Hope loves California grapefruit. Now, believe it or not, we didn't pay anything. It would cost millions of dollars for him to endorse something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he didn't endorse it. He just said, hey, here's my favorite grapefruit recipe. And he did, and so he gave one recipe that he came in himself that he said he liked broiled grapefruit with syrup on it. Okay, we printed that, and then we came up with one which was a grapefruit with crumbled Kellogg's cornflakes on it.
Well, that's cute. Now, all these recipes are in Recipes of the Stars?
They're in the Recipes of the Stars. There's actually over 100 recipes, classic recipes, with a little tiny story about the recipe with a headshot.
Excellent.
It's called Recipes of the Stars.
How did they get the book?
Well, it's in Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, the major stores online, and there's a website, 877-BOOK, there's 877-666. Geez, you know, I can't remember the
website. I've got that. Is that the 866-789 book?
You're right. You know, I had a mental block.
No, and what about do you still have the website?
The website's terrific.
The website is
celebritystew.com.
Okay, great.
Bob Hope's picture and Bill Cosby and Steve Allen. And Steve Allen wrote the foreword on celebritystew.com.
Well, you got to come back and visit again.
I love your new setup. I love your radio setup, and I wish you lots of luck with it.
Hey, thank you very much, Leo. We'll be talking to you again soon.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Again, that's celebritystew.com, 866-789-BOOK. That's where you will find all this information and a lot more. And see, it's just a kick. He's got stories that go on and on and on, but he'll have to come back and visit again. In the meantime, stay well, and of course we want to say thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off today. We want to make sure that you always know we're always going to be with you on Pop Off at high noon. Live simply, laugh off, and love deeply, and above all else, you dare to dream.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.